That was Kelly Clarkson with What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger. The Asia-Pacific Incentives and Meetings event, called AIM for short, returned to Melbourne for 3 days this week after two difficult years during COVID. And by all accounts, it's been given a much-needed boost to the business tourism industry, so badly impacted since early 2020. While there's still room for the event to grow as more international attendees return next year, AIM 2022 did manage to attract attendees from international exhibitors, including New Zealand, Japan, the Philippines, Qatar, Singapore, Hong Kong, South Africa, and many more. Graham Kemlow spoke with Peter King, CEO of the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre, home to the event for more than two decades.
AIM is the annual get-together for the business events industry, and since 2008, it's been held at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre. The event is actually owned by the Melbourne Convention Bureau. More than $1.1 billion out of the Melbourne Convention Centre in economic benefit for Melbourne and for the state of Victoria. Well, at least that was the figure in 2019. Now, since then, obviously the pandemic has affected particularly the tourism industry. This is the business tourism industry. But globally, this whole sector is worth about $36 billion. So it's no small matter. I spoke to CEO Peter King about the excitement of finally returning to face-to-face meetings for the business events sector, which is so critical to this city. Peter, you must be thrilled to have the punters back in the building for a business event, as distinct from a gift fair or a drive-in theatre exercise or even Loom.
Absolutely. I think we're all trying to restrain ourselves from hugging each other. We're just so glad to see some faces we haven't seen for a while, and they're unmasked. It's all good. So it's a very exciting time.
Yeah, it is. And even driving into town today, I felt like the traffic had built a little bit more than the previous week when I had come in. Yeah. So the city does seem to be coming back to life a bit. Yep. The MCEC's probably played a bit of a role in that, because it's a bit of a hub here, isn't it?
Well, it is. We are a very important activator generator of activity in the CBD. And I think as we bring some of these events back into Melbourne, you know, we fill a lot of hotels, we fill a lot of restaurants and bars and taxis and airplanes, you know, when things are going well. So even this event here at AIM, there's a lot of people coming from all over Australia and from some of the closer Asian destinations. So, you know, that's great for Melbourne. And I think the CBD activation has been really happening over the weekends. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the weekends, but the weeks have been still a little bit quiet. So we fill in the gaps. We fill in the weeks.
Yeah, well, obviously, MCEC was built around major conferences and meetings, but you've got another couple of dozen rooms apart from the big ones we're familiar with. Mm. Are you finding that you're also doing business with corporates who want a small board retreat or a team building program or something where they get out of the office, away from the Zoom, and they're happy to come to you where you've got all the fantastic communications equipment and the comfortable chairs and all that? Is that working for you?
That's what we do. We bring people together and we connect them, and this is exactly what the corporate market has been a little bit slow to come back, because people haven't been allowed in offices, so you can't ask them to come to a small meeting or a seminar if they're not even allowed in the office. But as that's happened over the last month, a lot of our current business is really generated through corporate activity. Exactly what you said, people wanting to get their groups of people face to face, and you know, we've got all the spaces in various sizes.
I also spoke at AIM with MCEC's Chief Commercial Officer, Melissa Sweetland, whose background is in large enterprises, banking and higher education, for example. She was appointed in the middle of last year to help with strategic leadership and transformation. Melissa talked about the two-track economy of both big and small enterprises and its effect on the traditional convention centre business.
they're not getting together as often as they did in the past. So when they do get together, they really want to make it special.
Right.
And they really want to be unconventional about what they're doing. But at the same time, they're also going smaller. So we're seeing the two-track economy.
Right.
And with smaller, people are doing it, potentially linking up virtually, and they're having really safe little events in town.
Okay.
So we've got to take our journey on that. So for me, you know, the change piece is really important as we learn to navigate this new world. And then from the university sector, very much bring across that knowledge sharing. You know, we are all about knowledge sharing. And whether that's through Loom and, you know, an appreciation of art, which so many people haven't seen before and are really growing, through to our business events. You know, a lot of what we do is really about that.
It seems to me that your background comprises working with a bunch of behemoths. You know, there's no small business in your background by the sound of it. I mean, is this appealing to you because this is a large, very visible business in the city of Melbourne? And that you can use sort of skills of scale that you had to develop in your earlier career to apply to something like a convention centre?
Scale is an interesting one. Scale is absolutely a huge challenge in any business. So you're right, it's a key part of my past that I draw on. But actually what drew me here was a little bit about the opportunity to work with somebody like PK.
And it's true, PK, or Peter King, is a very popular leader there at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre. And he believes that while the industry will return, it'll take at least 12 to 18 months to get back near the figure that it was able to generate for the city of Melbourne in 2019. However, he's heartened by the fact that international visitors have returned for this event. Not all of them, but many have returned from nearby nations. And a lot of Australian buyers and sellers will get together at AIM this week and will do business.
That was Peter King and Melissa Sweetland of Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre at AIM with Graham Kemlow.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J-Air 88 FM in Melbourne. So I'm here at AIM in Melbourne, where a lot of the media have gathered, specialists in the business events sector. One of the business events magazines that's got some longevity in this marketplace is MiceNet. Now, I happen to write for MiceNet, so I have to declare my interest, but I want to introduce my boss, Bronwyn Largier. Bronwyn, what do you think of AIM?
Oh, you know, it's nice to be back after 2 years. Yeah, this is that they really managed to just sneak their 2020 event in just before the pandemic really kicked off. It was in February 2020, and now it's back, and everyone seems pretty happy to be back and not very worried about getting COVID by the looks of things, to be honest.
Well, they have checked our vaccination status as you walked in the door here and got our badge and the rest of the stuff, but there's not many masks being worn, are there?
I reckon I've seen two masks today. Yeah. People don't want to. Like, it's a real, I think that's one of the things where people are like, this actually impacts my experience because you can't see people's faces. Sometimes you can't hear someone. And I think people just enjoy, I don't know. I guess sometimes I think a mask is like, there's really, makes people feel like we're really in a pandemic. And I think people now kind of, they've had enough.
Yeah.
They just want to, you know, and they don't have to wear one, so they don't. And I suppose it doesn't really make any difference, right? Because we're on the show floor all day, but then we're all at social events in the evening and no one's made a hole in their masks to stick the straw in so that they can have a drink tonight. So maybe it's not, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, you did Get Local in Sydney, which was, I guess I'd have to say, a similar style of event to this. It was around the business events sector. How do you compare the two? Can you?
Ooh, how do we compare? I mean, yeah, so Get Local was about a month ago. I think it was 15-16 February, so where Sydney was really coming down off their January Omicron wave. Masks were still compulsory in Sydney. It was still compulsory to check in Sydney. When we were there, the mask use was a bit not, you know,
haphazard, was it?
Yes, it was loosely interpreted, let's say. Yeah, you could compare them. I mean, Get Local was, you know, what it says on the tin. It was very much Australasia, so I believe it was mostly Australia, New Zealand and Pacific Islands. Whereas this What they're really pushing here at AIM is that they're their first show to have international delegates back. There's not a lot. I believe there's about 30 international hosted buyers. There are quite a few international exhibitors, but of course some of them are probably people who are already based here in Australia. But
even West Australia turned up here. I thought they weren't coming because I had interviewed them before for the magazine that we produced here at the show. And they told me they weren't coming, but there they are in their, all their finery.
Yes, they're here. I bet they're pretty pleased to be back. I met someone from who's based over in Perth this morning, and it's kind of like, oh, so they've let you out now, have they? Mm. And they kind of all think it's rather funny, I think. Yeah. But I suspect they've had a pretty good time, to be honest. Because until, what, two months ago, they've really been able to operate a business events industry in a microcosm of Western Australian delegates. And they've certainly, their bureau has been helping support local business events through funding, etc. And
Yeah, they've done quite well given that the rest of us were really not doing much in business events at all. How do you feel, what's the mood like here from your perspective? How would you describe it in a word or two?
It's interesting. So we had a press conference with the show organisers yesterday to open the show. I would say they were very grateful. I feel like I sensed a bit of relief, but that they actually got the show up, because I know. So, for context, AIM last year was supposed to be in sort of the same time period. I think March. It was in March, and they were planning to go ahead until quite late. I think they ended up cancelling the event in January, and that would have been really around the Northern Beaches outbreak in Sydney. And I think what was so interesting about that at that time for business events was everything had really started reopening in late 2020 as Melbourne kind of got over its, well, Victoria got over its 2020 outbreak that really had most of the state and certainly Melbourne closed for, I don't know, what was it? 5 months?
Unbelievable.
It was a long time. Yeah. So that had happened, and so Melbourne had got down to zero, which people never thought would happen. And then all the state borders had started opening. And I think everyone was like, great, it's over. And then what happened was, of course, there was that Northern Beaches outbreak in Sydney, and I think that spooked the whole industry. You just could not guarantee borders were going to be open, and would you plan an event and put all that work in, and then at the last minute, it's over. Mm. People just weren't there.
Yeah.
And so they cancelled, and I felt really bad. So, you know, this year I think they are very relieved. Everyone is super happy to be here. People aren't worried, particularly about COVID. And I think one of the things that actually really came out of Get Local, just going back to that, which was in February, was this. I think the industry sort of feels like it has a duty to meet, because they really have to show their clients that it can be done and people will get together. Because if they, you know, if we don't do it as an industry, why are their clients going to do it? I think what will be interesting is going forward, seeing how everything pans out, because I guess you could. There's also the possibility that there will be a lot of, you know, there could be outbreaks at events. And so far, I haven't heard that that's been happening.
No. So just talk about the magazine for a minute. It's been a digital publication for, 18 months, something like that. And you've produced the first print copy. Mm. Now, I know that's a major exercise because print's expensive and then you've got to get it to people, whereas digital, you just push a go button and it lands on their desk. How's it been received?
I have noticed. So we've had a whole lot of copies on the show floor and they are disappearing very fast. So I'd say that's a good thing. We sent it out to everyone. We sent out the digital version actually yesterday, and that's got a lot of traction. I think, you know, people are pretty happy to see it back. Obviously, it's got quite a bit of advertising in it, so people are ready to, you know, get back out there and start talking to their clients again. So that's really good. I think really this is probably been the first time that it's really been viable, because what's really been a problem with producing a print magazine up till now is that given the longer lead time of actually putting it together, too much stuff has changed. A, people are looking forward, they are planning, and certainly what we're hearing from everyone is confidence is coming back amongst their clients and amongst people wanting to meet. So now it's time to have a print magazine?
I have been asked, as I've handed a few copies out to my contacts here, are we going to do it again? Have you spoken to Helen Batt-Rawdon, the publisher, and did she give you any response to that question?
Yes, I did talk to her about this because I thought we would get asked. And I think the short answer to that is we are certainly open to doing more editions this year, whether they're print, whether they're digital, that will remain to be seen. But even a digital magazine in a long-form format, I think, is a big deal. And to be honest, the thing that will decide it will be advertisers. If they have the desire to advertise, we will be there to support them with content. And in the meantime, we will continue to do our daily newsletters, which are going out every day of the week.
Sounds good. Thanks for your time, Bronwyn. I know you've got to get back in there and talk to everybody that you need to talk to. I arrived here yesterday to a big hug, which surprised me a little bit, from a contact I've known for like probably 10 or a dozen years. We went away on a formil together. But that was a nice welcome to AIM. And there is a bit of emotion around the place.
Yes, that is actually true. There was something, I don't know if it was yesterday or earlier today, your attention was drawn because two people just like squawked and ran to each other.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to see because some of these, you know, people in Western Australia have not actually seen anyone more than likely in 2 years. I mean, the Western Australian border has been open to New South Wales and Melbourne and Victoria, you know, for all of about 5 seconds. Probably in the last 18 months. So I think people are really happy to see each other. And, yeah, I would say the atmosphere on the show floor is jubilant. People are happy to be back. They're happy to be face-to-face because it's really proving their livelihoods. You know, it's been a really difficult time for the business events industry and business events in particular, because I think what's been seen from a government level is there's much more willingness to fund public events, community events, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of money being poured into that, less so business events. So we're really having to support ourselves, essentially. And so being here is showing that we're ready to get back to business.
That was Graham Kemlow speaking with Bronwyn Lougier, digital editor of MiceNet magazine.
So, Rita, we've actually got a few minutes to talk about the soiree that I understand from reliable sources that you enjoyed down there at the bottom of our Mornington Peninsula. I guess it was a launch event for the Intercontinental Hotel Sorrento. Can you tell us about it? It all sounded incredibly glamorous.
Well, the song I would play for this is What a Swell Party That Was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't the full launch of the hotel. It was really an introduction to the food side of the hotel.
Right.
We weren't able to look at any of the rooms, but we did look at all the public areas. It was a huge party and a swell party. And it, for me, it was really interesting in a week where things have been really gloomy. Mm. And after a couple of years of COVID, this was a party that said, we're back, we're going to have fun, and yes, there is a future. And, I mean, that's taking it very seriously, but that's how I felt about it. The hotel is beautiful, really, really beautiful. And what struck me was that really good ventures and really, really good renovations don't require just money. They need imagination and sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me that all those things were there in spades. The food's going to be gorgeous. The main restaurant was called Audrey's. Most of Scott's restaurants, apart from Estelle, are named for members of his family.
Audrey's his mum, nice. Isn't it?
Yes.
Right. Okay. I hear George Colombaris was there.
Yeah, everyone was there. And the nice thing about it was that a lot of the industry was there, even though it was a Saturday night. So George was there. A lot of chefs were there.
Right.
And that was good because it means everyone's sharing in the excitement. There were lots and lots of people I didn't know, and quite a few I met. Mm-hmm. And I met the manager of the Audrey's, who's a man called Tristan, who looked at me, unmasked, recognised me. And then we talked about all the places he's worked. And I said, yeah, I've been to all of them. No wonder you recognise me. Really, the food's going to be stunning.
Right.
And there's Audrey's, there's a pub, there's a nightclub. There's an awful lot going on down there. And that sense of excitement is something we haven't had much.
Well, we've had a lot in the city with new hotels and things, but nothing really of that quality in the regions. Do you think?
All the new hotels in the city have opened very, very quietly.
Mm.
None has said, da-da, and given a party.
Yes.
I suppose during COVID it was a bit difficult to give a party. We all had to show our vaccination certificates.
Yes.
And you weren't allowed in unless you presented it.
Right. Well, that happened at the AIM event here at the Melbourne Convention Centre too. So I guess that seems still to be one of the mandates that has not yet been removed. But none of us wore masks.
No, the staff did
at
the Continental Hotel launch, but we didn't. Guests didn't.
Right. Well, it sounds fantastic, Rita, and it is a grand hotel. Not quite in the Windsor style. It's a bit more seaside than that, but it's certainly got glamorous proportions, doesn't it?
Oh, that's right. It's a beautiful, beautiful hotel with all sandstone, and it was always a grand building from the time it was built. So what it's got now is a renovation that makes it bigger and grander.
Right. And 108, I think, hotel rooms.
We didn't get any information except to say, welcome, and gorgeous food, and more tattered champagne than I've seen in one place before.
I believe it opens in May, Rita.
Yes.
The hotel accommodation, which is the IHG, Intercontinental Hotel Group, the five-star global brand.
And May is a difficult time to open, which I think was the point of this gorgeous party.
Right.
Because May is the lead up to winter, which is traditionally quiet everywhere in Victoria.
Mm.
But this is a very good reason to say, right, let's head down to the Mornington Peninsula. Let's have a few nights at the Intercontinental in Sorrento.
Sounds fantastic, Rita. Thank you for filling us in on that.
Oh, it was very good to be there. It was the least I could do for the
show. Someone's got to take one for the team, Rita.
Absolutely.
So, you know, given the difficulty of 4 weeks we've had when the world has witnessed the Putin's war on the Ukraine, our wish is that the guns might fall silent, that common sense might prevail, and man's inhumanity to man, woman and child might be demonstrated through a ceasefire at least. Here are Pentatonics with their a cappella take on Simon and Garfunkel's classic, The Sound of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence.
and in the naked light